Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. And my guest today is going to be Rabbi Chaim Goldberg. He's in Jerusalem. And at the moment, he is actually in a shelter. We're trying to connect with him. He sent a message to say he's going to try and get back to us as soon as he can. Is he there? He's here. Wow. Hello, Rabbi Goldberg. Hi, Rabbi. I can't hear you. Turn.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can hear you. I'm pleased to see you. Are you in a safe space at the moment?
Yes, I am. Thank God.
Thank God.
With a lot of differences there this morning with the family, kids coming back, you know, to the shelter, whatever it is.
Yeah, because
thank God.
The schools have been closed. I would like to introduce Rabbi Goldberg. First of all, I'd like to thank his aunt, Sarah Goldman, who actually introduced me to her nephew, Rabbi Chaim Goldberg, and she told me that he is in charge worldwide of the Noahide organization, which he'll tell us a bit about. But I have been reading many of your articles, Rabbi, and let me just say a bit about you. Rabbi Chaim Goldberg has worked with Jewish youth and students in education for 30 years, both in Israel and Australia. He was a highly successful high school principal for many years. And he said that he was awarded prizes for being among the top schools in Israel. And he said since almost all students had learning difficulties, dyslexia, ADHD, etc., all this time, he said that there was a profound idea of the Bible as they were passed on to him by the rabbis who are among the guardians of the secrets of the ancient people, Hebrew people. And after surviving a terrorist attack, Rabbi Chaim left his comfort zone and devoted his life to spreading messages that can unify the world and benefit all humanity. I would like to start with that, Rabbi. You survived a terrorist attack yourself. Did you then reassess your whole life after that and decide what you were going to do?
You're more than right. First of all, you did a good research. I didn't know that all of this is on the internet. I tried to hide that I was in a terror attack. I was with a lot of luck, with a lot of, you know, God really rescued me. Yes, but you know, when you're going on the path and everything is cool and everything is on the right way and you're getting more and more prizes from the government and all of the teachers is getting also, you know, reward and everything else and really more money from the government for the things that we did. And suddenly you're getting, you know, you're seeing this issue of losing your life. So I went on the path of my rabbi, Rabbi Chaim Drukman, one of the great rabbis of the religious Zionism in Israel. He passed away a few years ago. And he taught us, he himself also had a few times like that in his life. And he taught us that when you suddenly receiving life again, so you need to think what you can give more to the world. Mm. And what I did with students and with the youth and all of those things, they stayed in the same age and I grew up.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, let's see where we can give more benefit to the world.
And we're going to get back to that. We're going to get back to that.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Oh, this is Sue Jackson, and I'm back with Rabbi Chaim Goldberg. Rabbi Chaim is in Jerusalem. He's just come out of a bomb shelter, and unfortunately, the skies are full of rockets and missiles again. But you are on air with me. Thank you so much for making that effort, Rabbi. And we were talking about you and you when you decided your whole life was going to change after you yourself had faced a death situation. I have faced a couple of death situations myself when I've been threatened or I've been very ill. And each time it has taken me in a different direction. So tell me how it changed your direction.
I'm an educational person, okay? And I was thinking for myself that why the Hebrew nation came back to the homeland after 2,000 years? What is the message here? What is the purpose of the Hebrew people? And we can see that the Hebrew nation is coming back to its own homeland. And on the other side, some of us, we don't really know how to behave because we are not religion. People don't know that. We are a nation.
Mm.
And we have all sorts of costumes of behaving that is, maybe we'll go inside to this later on. Oh, you know what? Well, let me say about the Shabbat, for example. Okay, let's talk
right.
about the Saturday, the Shabbat that we're holding. If you go to the Torah and you look, the Shabbat have three different dimensions, and all of them are being mentioned in the Torah, in the Bible. The one is for the personal level. You know, I need to rest once a week. I'm taking a day of a rest. The other one is the national level. We were slaved, so we're taking one day off to show everybody that we are not slaved anymore. And the last one is the worldwide level. Okay, 6 days God created the world, and when we're stopping in the seventh day, we are witnessing that we believe in God, that He created the world. He didn't create only the Hebrew nation. All of the commandments, the mitzvot, whatever we say, it's all have those three dimensions. And this is also where it's also related with the rest of the world. And differently from the others, we don't think that all the world is supposed to become Jewish. I must say, in a personal note, that I gave a lot of seminars all over the world, even before I started to go inside, to dive inside to this Noahide World Center. But the first time that I came and gave a seminar to Noahide, I was invited to Johannesburg.
Oh, yeah.
The person that invited me, he was a high rank bishop that decided to move outside from Christianity. And it was amazing. Until today, it was 8 years ago. And until today, I have good friends from there, from Johannesburg. Some of them, the truth is that some of the people went to Australia and some of them stayed there in Johannesburg. I remember those 10 days that I was there. It was really lovely. It was amazing to see that people from other cultures, you know, are waking up and asking themselves, what is this situation of the Hebrew nation doing repentance and coming back to the homeland? What is the meaning of this for them? It's just like Jethro.
And Rabbi, in reading many of your articles, you stress that it's not about becoming Jewish. That's not what you're not out there to try and convert people. Judaism is not a religion that converts people. But you are there, this Noahide organization is to teach the seven laws of the Noahide laws. So when you say it was across many different people here in South Africa, we are made up of so many different cultures and everyone comes with their own ideas of what their religion is. So how did you actually begin to teach the Noahide laws? How did this bishop know about them?
First of all, we are on the internet, and also Google is spreading us outside, and this is why we have more than 20 languages and people all over the countries of the world. We have communities in India, we have communities in South America, in Europe, also in Johannesburg and also in Cape Town. We have people and communities. I think that the most amazing point is to realize we have a very important book. We call this the Tanakh or the Bible or the Old Testament, all those words. It's a canon. It's something very important. But it's the only canon or a script that is not starting from the Hebrew nation. Let me explain this. All the old script that we know from Rome, from the ancient Greeks, whatever it is, always it starts from their country, and from their country, all the rest of the world. Also, in South Africa, people are saying, and this is also there is also a museum about this, that the human being started in Africa, in South Africa. So everybody is saying, I am the one that is the source of everything. The only nation that is not saying that we are the source of everything, but everything started from Adam and Eve, and then from Noah and his destinies, is the Igbo nation. And the meaning of this is that we can go back to be partners, to be one family. And this is also what is being said to Abraham. And when you're starting to understand that, this is what is amazing, people. And also that we are allowing to ask questions. We are not against the reason and the reasonable side. How did I move to this? People are finding us because of the internet, and we have a lot of things on the internet, and people are really with us. We have thousands of people that are moving and getting more and more connected with us. I saw how it's going to reflect also in the Hebrew nation, because the main part, the main, I will say, debate inside the Hebrew nation until today is between the left side and the right side. The right side believe that only the Jews are here. The Hebrew nation, that's it. The rest of the world, you know, we don't need to listen to them. The left side is saying the opposite way around, you know, only the world is here. We need to be similar to the world. And I think the part that is going to unite everybody together is when the right side, that is more religious, will realize that God created the world and not only the Hebrew people. So this is where, and the left side will understand that it's also part of the culture of the Hebrew nation.
A
This is
greater
where it
cause.
will bring also harmony between those two parts.
What a wonderful thought, and we're going to get back to that shortly.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson, and I'm back with Rabbi Chaim Goldberg. He is in Jerusalem, and he is the head of the Worldwide Noahide Organization and many more. You can find a lot about him on LinkedIn and on Safari or Google, whichever is your best search platform. But Rabbi, you have just said something so interesting. And you know, Maimonides, Rabbi, what was it? Moses ben Maimon. He said, teach thy tongue to say, I don't know, and thou shalt progress. So what you are saying about teaching people that one way is not necessarily the absolute finite way. We need to look at the world in a more holistic way, people in the world in a more holistic way. Is that what you are saying?
Yes, and I will say it like that. Maybe I will say it in another way, and it will explain this a bit. There is from the beginning of history, okay, when we went out from the Garden of Eden, okay, nobody really knows what is the Garden of Eden, but when Adam and Eve went out and they have the two kids, they had Cain and Abel, there are two main ways how to live in this world, okay? Cain is living in a, I will say, in a mindset of all me or you. We can't live here together. While Abel is living in a mindset that we can live together here. You know what? I will give an example. Both of us are breathing air from the way that we, from the day that we went out from our mother's womb, and we're not paying for that. And the photosynthetic is organizing that we will have oxygen and everything will be fine. So the question is how to we can live together. The dream of the Hebrew people since the beginning of history is to reunite all of us together, to reunite everybody, to be under the mindset of Abel, not under the mindset of Cain. And if you will look today, I will give a simple example that a person from England, a Noahide from England, told me, okay? He was a very rank, you know, in the army or something, very big rank in the army. And when he retired, he, for his good, you know, time, he was driving a truck for a factory of food, a big factory in England. and he was spreading food, but he was also supposed to collect food that is going to expire. The day of expires is another week. And he said to them, "There's another week. Let me permit, give me permission to spread this food to shelters where people don't have food." And the answer was, "No, you're not allowed, because it will reduce the price of the food." He said to me, you know, he was so annoyed from this situation. But this is, I will say, a Cain mindset. I won't give food for free because it will damage my profit line in the bank. While when you think in the Abel mindset, you're saying, okay, I will assist people who doesn't have the possibility, whatever it is. Maybe the best assistant is to teach them how to, you know, to live and not only to give them food. Fair enough. But at this point of time also, we need to assist them. Now, one of the most biggest problem that we have today is that part of the leaders are investing a lot of money, effort, whatever it is, for more, you know, for their country with more missiles, with all more other things, and to have more fights. And the mission of the Hebrew tradition, Hebrew nation, is to bring us to the Abel mindset, so we will be able to live together in harmony, more and more as families. We are giving the blessings to the nations. This is also what is said to Abraham, and this is what our prophets are saying that will happen. And the main reason we came back to our homeland is because of that. And now we're not ch trying to change everybody. We're trying to bring them to their, I will say, main true hardcore of what they have to give to the world on one side. On the other side, we can have the right, I will say, line that we are still together, one with each other, without all the time wars and fighting. Think about this for a moment. I'm sitting in a shelter. My family, everything is breaking down. We can't work as usual because there is a group of people in Iran that in the last 50 years built up a concept. I will say, it's their environment to destroy and to demolish the Hebrew nation from this world and also the American people. Say to yourself, and they're saying it on behalf of God. You say to yourself, you know, it's insane to think like that. We know that God is giving life. We're not taking life from others. And when we will manage to bring the world to this mindset, we will be able to live here in harmony. And if today, according to the United Nations, 60 million people are dying because of hunger, okay, they're starving for hunger, we will be able to opposite the way around, you know, to flip it. So we will be able to take all the food that we have here, like we have enough oxygen to everybody, we have enough food, and nobody will die from hunger.
Wouldn't that
We
be an
just need.
ideal world? What an ideal world that would be. You've written many articles. The one thing that I found very interesting was you said you sat across from a 16-year-old with an IQ that could frighten a university professor. This 16-year-old had been expelled from three schools in 2 years. And you looked at him and you understood something that you have never been able to forget. You said he had a Ferrari engine installed in a bicycle frame, all that power, but no chassis to hold it. Tell me what you mean by that.
I will explain. I will start with what happened with this boy, and I will also explain what's happening today because we are very
Yes.
similar to this
Yeah, I want to tie it
situation.
in.
Basically, I had the privilege, and I learned a lot from those young kids, to be a high school principal also for kids that they were ADD, ADHD. They are with a lot of brain, but they are thinking differently. They're not thinking in the same way that we are thinking, okay, of all the normal people around. I will say it like that. But on the other side, they're very, very clever, very smart. You mentioned this boy that was, you know, kicked out from two school or three schools in 2 years. I received sometimes kids in grade 9 that were already in 11 or 12 schools.
Oh, wow.
We need to understand how they're feeling, okay? And they had no possibility of learning in the system. But on the other side, they were very, very clever people, very clever. And it's like taking someone who have, I will say, the youth engine with a lot of energy and a lot of things. He sees a lot of things that usually normal people don't see. In a moment, I will give an example. And on the other side, he's not on the frame of decent people, okay? Of normal people in his age. And this is why they're throwing them out. I will give an example. Not once they were sitting down. They really loved their teachers. They really have a good connection, very good intelligence relation with people. And when a teacher came inside, a lady teacher came inside, you know? So they said to her in the morning, before 8 o'clock in the morning, they said to her, "Wow, you look today upside down. Maybe you had a fight with your husband or with your kids." Now you're saying to yourself, it's not appropriate that a 16 years old you will say this to a lady who have kids, who have family. On the other side, they saw also the intelligence, you know, and they wanted to, "I will give you a coffee." In a normal place, those teachers will get offended. I'm naked. Not naked physically, okay, naked emotionally. But
Emotionally,
those,
yeah.
what we did as preparation. So I called it the engine of Ferrari in a body that doesn't know yet how to deal with this in this world.
I love that analogy.
Now, on the other side, what we have today with the AI, it's the same thing. What's happening with the AI? The AI is doing faster than us, smarter than us, more exact than us, without any being tired or something like that, all the things that maybe we can do. So the question is, so we have, I will say it like that, we have, and it's getting better and better, we're not on the peak yet, especially the Gemini and the Google and the Claude. But we have an engine, okay, of a Ferrari that can help us. What is the uniqueness of the human being? What is the one thing that won't be replaceable with us? Can we define it? Can we understand it? I'm saying that the Hebrew tradition is giving the differences, the uniqueness in three realms, okay? And this is something that we need to understand. And when we will understand that, when we know how to deal with this, it will help us to use, okay, the AI in the right way on one side. And on the other side, to bring our uniqueness, and each one of us have his own uniqueness. And I gave already seminars about this, and it's really working amazing. We can dive inside to this, but this is basically the situation. The world today have an AI engine of the Ferrari on one side, and on the other side, it's not dealing at all with I will say, with the uniqueness of the human being. In this environment,
Are you
we're
saying
not.
the human freedom of choice must come in here?
This is one part. This is, I will say, on the level of the personal side, okay? We are the only one that on one side, the body is like the machine, and on the other side, the free will is much greater than the machine. I will give an example. We all know the Olympics that we have every 4 years. But straight after the Olympics, we have the Paralympics. What is the Paralympics? It's for people that the body has broken, but the willpower brought them to stages that are unbelievable. But yeah, we are the only one, okay? The machine, the AI doesn't have this, I will say, combination. The AI doesn't have any free will. What you will ask him, he will give you out. He doesn't really have the free will, okay? It's a language discussion, I will say it like that. It doesn't have a
Absolutely.
human rule.
Now,
So this is one part. There are, the Cain and Abel part, for example, is also something that is, it's only for the human. The human is only one who can decide if he's working on the Cain mindset or the Abel mindset, okay? The vision side, for example, another thing. I can get a lot of ideas, but at the end, or the AI can give me ideas, but at the end, I need to be aligned with the vision that I understand that is for me, okay? One, his vision is to work, in cars and to fix them and to build them and to create them, whatever it is. Another one is something else. This is part of the, I will say, the fulfillment of the world, okay, that we have so many things. It's all together is bringing us to one understanding of unity. So there are things that we need to understand. We have this Ferrari engine, and we're on the other side. We need to start to find our parts of uniqueness that can't be replaceable.
And so there's always, what you're saying is that there is always a choice as a human being. We have the choice of how we proceed in our lives. You know, just on a quite a humorous note, last week I had Cain and Abel working at my house. Cain was on the roof, fixing the roof, and Abel was in the garden mowing the lawn. And they were both chatting to each other, one from the roof and one from the garden. It was actually a very amusing scene to see. Now, you have written many, many articles, and you also run what you call, we're getting off the Noah Hyde for a while. If the Noah Hyde, people want to know more about the Noah Hyde, I really do suggest that you go on under Rabbi Chaim Goldberg and look up Noah Hyde. It's Noahide, and you can get everything you want there, and also his contacts. But you also teach the Jethro, a Jethro example. Tell me what that is.
I will say, and this is why I also took this word. Let's explain this a bit. We, the Hebrew nation, again, the Hebrew nation, we had an experience of going out from our boundaries. The word Mitzrayim, Egypt, in Hebrew is the boundaries, Meitzarim, boundaries. And we had the privilege with the 10 pledges of God and with the miracle on the sea, all of those things that we saw, we had the experience of, as a nation, to go out from the boundaries that kept us inside. And on the other side, the world saw that, but the world it didn't affect the world. Most of the world didn't get any affected from this issue. There's only one person that saw that and did a big change inside himself. He understood that he's seeing the world in one way, basically in the Cain way, and he moved to the Abel way, okay? And the person that the story is telling us, the Bible is telling us, is Jethro, okay? That he also came, even though he didn't pass this experience, but he observed it from the outside. I think that the Noahide people of today are very similar to this person. What is driving, let's be honest, what is driving people from all over the world to start to listen to the Hebrew rabbis and to understand those ideas, whatever it is? What is driving them?
Choosing
The
life,
truth.
perhaps.
Sorry?
Is it choosing life over a death cult or?
It is choosing life, and this is one of the things that we are teaching, but what is moving them? The first step is that they see suddenly that the Hebrew nation went out from the exile and built up country. This is what they're saying to us. Build up a country that is a strong country, and it's not a country that is trying to kill others, okay? But it's giving life with all of the AI, whatever it is. Not AI, sorry. The all sorts of ideas that are coming out from a lot of things that the Hebrew nation is doing good for the world and
Absolutely.
all over the world. And they're saying, we as observing this situation, after thousands of years that we were taught that the Hebrew nation is supposed to be demolished and outside, and they even passed the Holocaust. The word that we are hearing, I have videos about this, okay? And they're saying this to us. The word that they're saying to us, the German didn't manage. They didn't do it. Now, my father's side, they came from Lithuania. I assume that also your side came from Lithuania. I assume, I'm not sure. Okay, but I know that the Lithuanian people in the 100 years ago after the First World War came to South Africa and built up the Jewish community there. the Hebrew community. But they said to us, the people from Lithuania said to us, Noahide, people from non-Jewish people, the Noahide people, that Hitler lost the war. So I said to him, how can you say this to me? You know, part of my family got killed in Lithuania, the other part got killed in Germany. How can you say to me that he lost the war? You know what was the price that we paid? So he said to me, yes, maybe you pay the price, but when you look 70 years after that, and it's on the film, he decided to film this. When we see 70 years after that, and we are begging that you will come, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, and give us the values back to this country. This is where we see that he didn't manage. He thought that he will manage to destroy, to demolish, to kill all the Jewish or the Hebrew people in this world, and they didn't manage. And
Absolutely.
what's happening is that more and more people are looking around and saying to themselves, these Hebrew people, they did it again. They went out from Egypt, not from one country, from 200 countries. They built up a strong state. They're holding, they're standing for themselves, and they're giving life to the world. We need to understand those secrets, how it's working,
We're going to
and the
get back to
gentle.
that. We're going to get back to that.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. My guest today is Rabbi Chaim Goldberg in Jerusalem. And what I didn't say right at the beginning, if you have any questions for Rabbi Goldberg, you can SMS us or WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019. Rabbi, in many ways, what we're talking about is searching for meaning beyond what we are looking at. So it's almost like what the Stoics say, the view from the top, looking down. And you have written a few articles on this. When you look down at the moment, this is quite a hard question for you, but you're looking down on two civilizations, on the Iranian civilization on the one hand, which celebrates death. And, they are made into martyrs if they die. And then you're looking at the Hebrew way, the Israeli way, which celebrates life. And how can we ever learn to live side by side when that is what's happening right now in our world?
First of all, it's a very nice question, and I like challenging questions, and I have two answers for that, okay? The first answer that I'm going to give is we need to be aware that along history, always, we have the bad and the good. There are people that are going under the bad side and people who are going under the good side. And along history, always, the bad is losing and the good is winning. By the way, this is exactly what Jethro saw. Our sages are saying that he saw three things. And one of the things that he saw, if you look at nature, the most stronger is managing, okay? As more as you're strong, you're managing more. And according to idolatry, this is the situation where the strongest alien is the one who is winning, okay? And Jethro was idolatry person until the moment that he saw the fight between Amalek and Israel. And the Amalek was under the mindset of Cain, the strongest is going to win. And he saw that Moses is picking up his hand, and everything there is also related with faith. By the way, the Hebrew nation fight it, but also they were with a faith with God that will help them, that will assist them. And then he realized that history will, the good is going to win, even the strongest. And this is one of the most important things that changed his mind. He moved from the Cain side to the Abel side. So there's a lot of things to practice inside, okay? A lot of times when we as parents speaking with our kids, we're speaking under the Cain side mindset. We know, and he needs to do that. But there's a lot of things that we can discuss it. It's not now for this point. We have today in this world two kinds of, I will say, people who are defining God in the opposite way. The Hebrew nation is defining God as the one who is giving life. The Arabic side, it's a small side, okay? Under the Noahide World Center, I'm not the head, I'm the CEO. The head is Rabbi Shirky, and we sent a message to the Arabic community around us, and we got a lot of good responses, and we have a lot of Arabic people that are with us. I think 85% of the Arabic are with us, but unfortunately, the 15%, and it's a lot of big amount of people, those who are thinking like the Shia that they need to kill everybody. But they see God as the one who doesn't. Everybody needs to obey. The word Islam is to obey to God, and if you don't obey to God, you need to be slaughtered. You need to be killed. You need to be burned. You need to all the things that we saw with ISIS. But we know that always at the end, the good is winning. It might be that there is a price. It might be that it's going to be a long one or something like that. But at the end, the good is winning. So this is one level that you can look at things. The other level is really to work hard also with the Islam, and this is what we're doing in the Noah Heidwald Center. We're working with all of the groups of the world. There are six main category groups that we're working with, and we're trying to expose them to the idea that everything is starting from the how we define God. Almost every person here, now maybe he won't call it God, he will call it my vision, he will call it my ideas, he will call it my purpose in life. As a religion person, I will say how I define God. Okay, what is the vision that God is giving me? We, the Hebrew nation, we are defining God that is the one who is giving life. The philosophers are defining God as the most smartest here, the most powerful here, whatever it is. But at the end, it's the same scale like the people around, because we are all smart, but God is the most smartest. We're all strong. God is the most strongest. Fair enough. We define God as the one who is giving life. We can't give life. We can't. We don't know how to give life. We don't know how to define life. Even the science doesn't know how to define life. So God is giving life. Therefore, we are admiring life, and we all know. Okay. If there is something that is against your life and against Shabbat, you need to move aside the Shabbat and to give life. And this is why it's so contradicted. And after 75 years, okay, 78 years, now it's almost 79, but I'm speaking about 4 or 5 years ago, of the Hebrew nation getting, comfortable back at their homeland. We move to the next stage. And the next stage is that we need to defeat the badness in this world. With some, we will manage. And with some, we're going to move them from this world, just like we did with the Nazis. And like, let's go back to the Second World War. With the Nazis, we moved them, we killed them, we moved them, whatever it is. With the Japanese, we changed them. So some of them will change, some of them will move. It's hard, it's not comfortable. We prefer not to be in this stage, but we need to move to the next stage of history.
And what you're saying is that there is hope, because the examples you've given of Germany and of Japan are our hope. It's the light beyond that darkness. We're going to get back to that shortly.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and my guest today in Jerusalem is Rabbi Chaim Goldberg, and he's the CEO of the Noahide organization.
Awesome.
And Rabbi, one of the articles you wrote about, and I was just thinking about when you had your own incident, your terror incident, and changed your life. We do not have to have life-threatening situations to actually realize that we all are being asked every day, what choices do we make today? I was just thinking as I was driving here, I was going past two beggars on the road, and they were having a fight. And there were masses of cars, and well, no one was stopping. And then I saw it was one of our one of the security companies were stopping, and it was a relief to see they were stopping to stop these two beggars from going on fighting. And the strange thing was, I was at a stop street and I saw what was happening. And instead of just pulling them aside, they actually spoke to them. And I saw them both releasing each other. And I wondered, what had these security guards who were well armed, what had they actually said to stop this fight? And I think that's a question that we need to often ask ourselves in the world as it is today, which is a very fractured world, as Rabbi Jonathan Sacks used to say. In this fractured world, what are the choices we have? What are the gifts that we can give to the world?
You're more than right. I will tell you the problem. The problem is that when we think about this, for example, okay, if, for example, we go to take a nap, to go to sleep a bit, you know, in the afternoon, and we wake up in a strange place where the sky is brown and the floor is blue, okay, and we see people around us with something on their heads, and they're saying beep, 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 beep. We will ask ourselves, are we dreaming? Is it true? How did I came here? When can I go back to my home, to my place? Now, this is what happened to us. When we went out of our mother's womb, we came to a place where, you know what, it was the opposite. The ground is brown, okay, the sky is blue, and we had people around us saying to us, oh, such a music, things like that to the baby. Now, what happened is after 2 or 3 years, we got used here, and when we started to speak, we forgot all the questions. And the main issue here is how to wake up every morning to be with a lot of thankfulness for God, who is giving me another day, another choice of day to give you something to this world, and to ask myself the questions. What I'm doing here is progressing the world. How can I give more? How can I do every day also something, not only for receiving money, but also for do good to others, or something like that. Always, I get a phone call. Okay, I have a very tense schedule. Okay, where I'm in charge of something like 8 departments from all over the world with thousands of people. And fair enough, but someone called me once, twice, and he wanted very much to get advices. So I find half an hour to give him advices over things to share with him. And I said to myself, this is my good thing of today, okay? Yeah. I'm trying to do a lot of more things. I'm just giving an example. When we wake up to remember, it's not obvious. It's not obvious. It's a new day. We need to bring good things to the world in this new day, to present it to outside, to share it with people, to get connected with people, those things that are very important, and to find the main mission of life that we have. And when we'll be in this mindset, it will bring the world to a better stage, especially if we'll start to think not only for receiving, but also to forgiving.
How beautiful. And on that, we're going to end. It is finding that light within each other and recognizing that we all do have that light within ourselves, and each person has it, and to respect that. Rabbi Chaim Goldberg, thank you so much for being with me. I'm being told to wrap up. We're going on to another program now. But would you please come back with me, because I would like you to discuss the Jethro principle and looking at life from the Stoic point of view, a Jewish point of view, just a life point of view looking down. What were you going to say?
I'm saying through the Hebrew point of view. I'll say another word if it's okay.
Yeah.
If I have a lot of times we don't understand, we're not realizing when we're saying things. For example, a candle, okay, by itself is one light, small light. When you're taking another candle, it's not taking anything from anyone else. It's a twice
sharing,
amount of light.
Sharing the light.
It's not only sharing, it's also multiplying.
Absolutely.
This is, if we're starting to understand that we inside have a light, and when we're getting together with another one, we can do a twice amount of light.
Absolutely.
This is where the world is going to be in a better stage.
Amen to that. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Vusi, and thank you, Makundi.